Welcome to Future of Journalism, a podcast from the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at the University of Oxford. I'm Mitali Mukherjee, director of the Institute. This is a special series of our podcast dedicated to the Digital News Report 26. What we're trying to unpack over the course of these episodes is this most comprehensive piece of research on news consumption worldwide, but also the individual threads that we tried to draw attention to. It's the 15th edition of the report. It's based on almost 100,000 interviews, news consumers from six continents, so very, very international in its representation, and 48 markets. In this episode of the series, we're joined by Richard Fletcher, Director of Research, Deputy Director at the Institute, and co-author of the report. Richard has authored a chapter on the different reasons why television, newspapers, and radio are losing their news audiences. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Hi there.
It's a gloomy headline, but we'll try and unpack it right from the get-go. And let's first start by sort of looking at offline media, Richard, by which we're talking about television, newspaper, and radio. As I said, this is the 15th edition, and this is something we've been tracking for a while now. What did you want to understand about this downward trend that we've been seeing in offline media?
Yeah, I think most listeners by now know that offline sources of news, like TV, newspapers, and radio, are all in decline in terms of weekly reach, so the number of people that say that they use them on a weekly basis. And we can clearly see that from the trend lines that we've built up over the last 15 years or so on this project. But I think one of the limitations of this is that the trend lines on their own don't really tell us too much about the underlying dynamics. So what might be causing these trends, and also why some sources are losing audiences faster than others.
It's a good idea to think about sort of where it started and where it's got to understand what the decline has looked like, Richard. Can you talk a little bit about that in terms of what the peaks looked like and what the level of decline has been for offline media?
Yeah, in the chapter, we pick out just four countries as examples. So Brazil, Japan, the UK and the US. In each of these cases, we can quite clearly see that offline sources are already less widely used than online sources, for example. And this has been the case now for a few years. If we just sort of use the UK as one example, we can see that in the case of newspapers, around 1 in 10 say that they now use them on a weekly basis as a source of news. And this is down from around 60% back in 2013. 25%, so around a quarter, say that they use radio news, and this is down from 40% just over 10 years ago. And in the case of TV, well, still roughly half of people say that they are using TV news on a weekly basis, but this is down from 80% in 2013. So quite substantial double-digit percentage point declines in all cases for offline media.
Is there very significant sort of country variation as well in these levels of usage?
There are always differences by country. So, I mean, some countries, for example, Germany is an example of a country which has in general more traditional media habits, and therefore offline use of offline sources tends to be a little bit higher, for example, than in the UK, especially when it comes to TV. And then you've got countries as well like Japan, which have kind of specific national circumstances. So newspaper circulation in Japan is still pretty high for various reasons. But I think it's also true that in basically every market that we look at, this basic pattern of decline around offline news use is the same. And it's something that we see pretty much universally.
What was fascinating, though, Richard, was kind of the different dynamics that played out in these three pillars. I know they sometimes get clubbed together when we talk about traditional news sources, but it has played out quite differently, hasn't it, in newspapers, in radio, and then in television.
Yeah, and this is really the focus of the chapter in the report. And just before getting to what we found, I can say a little bit about how we got there. So this year we asked a new question to those people in the survey who said that they're currently not using each of these offline sources on a weekly basis. And in short, what we did is ask them a follow-up question which said, well, if you don't use it now, how does you used to use it but you've stopped, or is it because you've never used this source on a weekly basis? And what this data allows us to do, it allows us to work out which sources have what we call high adoption rates. So this is, in other words, is how many people have ever used them on a regular basis. Even if they've stopped now, they might have used them in the past. And then retention rates, which is the proportion of those that did adopt the source and who are still using it today. And we think this is useful because it can shed some light on whether a source is in decline because it's failing to recruit users, or whether it's in decline because it's recruiting them but then failing to hold on to them as regular users. And when we look at the data for different sources, this does actually allow us to see some kind of fundamental differences between print, TV, and radio. So in the case of newspapers, they tend to have weak adoption rates and weak retention rates. So in other words, they've not been able to recruit new users. And even among those that did adopt newspapers as a source, around 3/4 are now lapsed users. So they have a problem with adoption and a problem with retention. And radio is in a similar position. So weak adoption rates and weak retention rates, although retention has been a little better for radio than it has been for newspapers. So there is a slight difference there. But then TV is kind of different again, because TV has quite high adoption rates, actually. So 80% averaging across 45 markets, 80% of people say that at one point they have been a regular TV news user, but retention is lower. So for TV, the primary cause of the clients is this failure to hold on to users, as reflected in this kind of relatively weak retention rate.
We have, through the course of this report, Richard, of course, come up, looked at how some of these metrics sit against different age groups. In terms of both these adoption and retention approaches, what kind of variation did we see across ages? I mean, intuitively, you would think there is a mismatch between young audiences and newspaper usage, but detail that for people listening.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what we find. So if we look at younger people, we can basically see an even bleaker picture when it comes to newspapers and radio in terms of adoption. So fewer young people as compared to older people say they've ever used these as news sources on a weekly basis. And I think that's probably, you know, something we would have expected. I think it gets a bit more interesting when we look at TV, because when we look at TV, compare the under 35s with the over 35s, we see considerably lower retention rates amongst younger people, while the adoption rates are actually sort of quite similar. So in other words, we can see that the decline in TV news use is not really about young people having never adopted the medium. It's really about young people who used to use it but have now stopped. And that's one of the key causes of the decline in television news use. And that's slightly different from what we see when it comes to newspapers and radio, who have never really been able to recruit young people as users in the first place.
There is a fourth separate and important category, Richard. And, you know, this has been pointed to in our executive summary as well for the report, which is that people are now getting a greater share of news on social media and video networks, less so for news websites, dedicated news websites and apps. What can we understand from these findings in terms of where things may be pointing to for news websites and apps? Are they going in the direction of these three traditional sources? What did we find on adoption and retention there?
I think the sort of short answer to that is yes. So when we look at the data for news websites and apps, we see they have a similar adoption retention profile to television news, so relatively high levels of adoption and then declines that we are seeing in many countries, which may come as a surprise to some listeners, but news websites and apps are in decline in many cases. And these declines seem to be primarily driven again by a failure to retain audiences that were regular users at one point in the past. And again, when we split the data by age, we see pretty much identical rates of adoption for the 18 to 34s and the 35 and overs, but retention rates are 10 percentage points lower amongst younger people as compared to older people. So again, as with television news, declines in the use of news websites and apps seem to be driven by the loss of younger former users.
One of the key takeaways here, Richard, is that there's sort of different reasons for this drop in different categories based on adoption, retention. Television has been a great example that you've kind of pointed to. Did the findings from this year's study sort of dispel any misconceptions about the evolving news consumption landscape? And I suppose I'm specifically tilting towards news websites and apps while asking this.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still this data helps us understand a little bit more about these broader trends. But of course, there are lots of unanswered questions still, and we can look at those in future years. But I think one thing it does help to do, I think, is sort of kind of there's still an idea around that younger people might eventually, as they get older, grow into the media habits of their parents' generation. And I think our data sort of suggests that this probably isn't going to happen. I think partly this is, you know, to do with a slight misunderstanding about what older people are doing now when it comes to news. And one of the points we make in the report is that if anything, they're adopting the habits of younger people rather than the other way around. And I think, you know, more broadly, I think it's important to remember that older people, you know, if they are consuming traditional media, it's not simply because of their age. It's primarily because their generation and people who were born at the same time were socialized into specific consumption patterns and preferences. And that, to me, is a much more sort of important factor in than just purely people's age at a given time as to why they consume news media in the way that they do.
This is a little bit of sort of looking into the future, which is hard to do for a data scientist. But anything that you've looked at in the last 13 years, Richard, that points to future news habits, because I think one of the points that you raised in your chapter as well is that in many cases, it's less about a growth on some of these social media platforms and more about a fall in, you know, existing news websites, etc., in terms of that crossover that we've seen for audiences.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's one of the sort of key findings in the report is that the emergence of social media as the kind of dominant source of news is not necessarily a story just about social media's sort of growth. It's also about the decline of not only offline media, but also online news websites and apps. And I think that points to a kind of general trend kind of away from news use and sort of the increase in news avoidance or kind of just avoid, you know, not using any kind of news use at all. That's the kind of bigger sort of underlying trend, I think. I mean, you're right that it's difficult to predict the future, but I think it's also worth remembering that the declines we're seeing around traditional media in particular are driven by much broader and really quite profound changes to the information environment more broadly, and that's really, you know, not going to go away. And in general, the sort of trend lines that we've built up over the last, you know, 13 years or so are really a result of these changes or part of these changes, and I think they're really unlikely to be reversed when it comes to traditional media. I think where the uncertainty lies is what might emerge. I mean, we've seen AI chatbot news use grow this year, for example, but it still remains to be seen about how that will take shape in the coming years. So I think where there's uncertainty, it's not about the decline of certain sources. It's about what if anything will take its place.
A not small question for publishers to think about. Richard, thanks very much for joining the podcast today.
Thank you.
Our guest today, Richard Fletcher, Director of Research and Deputy Director at the Reuters Institute and co-author of the Digital News Report. As always, thank you for listening to this podcast around the Digital News Report 26. There'll be more coming from us, and you can stay across news from the Institute by following us on Blue Sky, on LinkedIn, or subscribing to our weekly newsletter. From the team here, thanks very much for listening. I'm Mitali Mukherjee. Goodbye.